This one summer vacation, my parents enrolled me on this summer camp in Utah. Kids from various schools joined the camp. We were sorted into groups under camp leaders. The girls stayed on the left part of the camp and the boys on the right. We were all teenagers from the age of 13 to 15, so it was obvious that our hormones got the best of us. Boys were flirting with girls and girls were enjoying the attention. Me being the loner felt a little left out from the group though. But then I met Angela. I was sitting behind a tree making a catapult from a twig when I heard a girl screaming.
Give me my glasses back!
Take it, weirdo! Come on, take it!
I looked behind the tree and saw a Tucker bullying this girl. Tucker was from my school and often took advantage of his big size. The girl, though, was standing there helpless. She had two ponytails and braces. I got up and snatched the glasses from Tucker's hand.
Pick someone of your size, Tucker!
Wow, looks like someone's got a girlfriend!
Suck eggs!
Tucker kicked his feet on the ground, splashing muddy water on the girl's pink dress, and left smirking like a villain.
Thanks for helping.
Ignore him. He's a jerk. I'm Jack, by the way.
I'm Angela.
That's how our friendship began. Angela and I hung out together the entire day, but that evening, during the bonfire, something weird happened. I was eating roasted chicken cooked by our camp leaders when Angela got up and disappeared into the woods. After a few minutes, when she didn't come back, I decided to go look for her. I went towards the lake and found Angela and Tucker standing there. No one else was there. I thought Tucker was bullying her again, but then I saw Angela kiss Tucker on the cheek. It was shocking to watch. Moments back, this guy was making her cry, and now she's kissing him. Thinking I'll never understand girls, I came back to the campsite. I felt bad and went to bed without waiting for Angela to come back. The next morning, my roommate, Carson, woke me up.
Dude, get up! Get up!
What? Why are you shouting?
Something killed Tucker in the woods last night!
What?
Yeah, man, the camp leaders found his bloody body under a tree this morning.
We all were summoned to the dining hall and the news of Tucker's mysterious death was announced. Mr. Russell, our camp counselor, said that it was an animal attack as Tucker had multiple slash wounds on his face and body. The cops took away his body and we were prohibited from leaving the campground after dark. That afternoon, I went to Angela's room to ask her about Tucker's death. I was sure that I'm the only one who saw Tucker with her before he died. But as I knocked on her room, I heard her roommates laughing and making fun of her. They opened the door and yelled,
"Oh, Angie, your boyfriend's here."
I got awkward, but then they said something even weirder about her.
"Oh, how will you make out with your boyfriend when you can't even change your clothes in front of us?"
Angela stood in the room with her face turning bright red, and the girls left. Is everything all right?
Everyone makes fun of me for my shy nature.
I hugged her, and seeing her all upset didn't bring up the topic of Tucker. We planted saplings all day, and Angela was smiling again. The sun was about to set when Angela asked me for a favor.
Jack, you're my only friend here. Will you help me prank Camilla?
Camilla? The girl who was making fun of you this morning?
Yes, I just saw her going to the washroom. Please, help me teach her a lesson.
But what kind of prank do you have in mind? Angela took me outside the washroom and pointed at the window.
All you have to do is lift me up to the level of the window so I can scare her. That's all.
Okay. It's a harmless prank, I guess. I carried Angela on my shoulders and lift her. But instead of doing what she told me she would do, she plucked this beehive hanging from the corner shade and dropped it inside the washroom from the window. Thousands of bees swarmed in the washroom and Angela closed the lid right away. Camilla's painful scream numbed my ears.
Come on, let's run!
Angela pulled me and we ran away before anyone could see us. When we reached a safe spot, I was stunned by her sick prank. I screamed at her for doing such a horrible prank and told her our friendship is off. I also threatened her that I know she was with Tucker the night he died. Her eyes turned big, once hurt me. I didn't wait for her reply and stormed away. When I came back to the campsite, Camilla was in the medical room, passed out in pain and high fever. I made up my mind that the next morning I'll go to Counselor Russell and warn him about Angela. A thunderstorm took place that night and we were all sent to our cabins early. My roommate, Carson, stayed with a few of his other friends that night, so I was alone. Around 2 a.m., I woke up feeling heavy pressure on my chest. With my blurry vision, I saw Angela sitting over me with a terrifying smile and a knife.
I thought we understood each other, Jack. But you're just like everyone else.
No!
She lifted the knife to stab me, but I knocked her off the bed, screaming. We began to struggle for our lives when I grabbed Angela's long black hair, and the unthinkable happened. Her wig came off.
No! What did you do, Jack? What did you do?
Angela's body trembled in rage, like she was suffering a panic attack, and fainted on the floor. I ran to the counselor and told him everything. Angela's family and the cops were called. A shocking truth came out afterwards. Angela was a boy named Peter. After his sister died in a tragic car accident, Peter's mom raised him like a daughter. It was his mother who messed up Peter's mind from a young age. Peter is now in a juvenile correctional home, with the charges of first-degree murder and one attempto murder. I have never attended any summer camp since then. I got trust issues dating girls for a long time after that incident. Whoever is reading this, please send help. All my friends are dead. Unless something happens, I will join them soon. It all started when school closed for the summer. We had just graduated from high school, so the guys and I decided to celebrate by going on a fun summer vacation. Miguel suggested a resort in South America.
Dudes, there's a resort in my village. It's got booze, sandy beaches, babes, you name it. Trust me, you're gonna love it.
Miguel was my best friend. We'd known each other since junior high. Plus, the resort was at the island he grew up in, so I figured I could take his word for it. The following week, I, Miguel, his girlfriend Anna, and two other classmates boarded a private plane for the trip. Everything was going great, but out of the blue, a freak thunderstorm started. The turbulence was so terrible that we screamed and cried. Things grew worse when we lost one of the engines. Yet, miraculously, we managed to crash land on an airstrip close to the resort.
Is everyone all right? Just a few bumps and bruises, but I'll live. I might need a fresh pair of pants, though.
Anna was hurt. She had dislocated her shoulder. We applied first aid to it, hoping to get her to a doctor once we reached town. Even more concerning was that the plane was totaled during the accident. It would need several days to be fixed, and until then, we had no choice but to stay on the island. I didn't know it then, but things were about to get much worse. We took a bus from the airfield to Miguel's village where the resort was. On our way to the resort, I noticed creepy scarecrows hung on poles in different sections leading up to town, each one of them eerily similar to actual human bodies. Even more terrifying, some of them had some sort of black liquid oozing from their sides. Miguel explained what they were. The village folks put it up. They believe it wards off evil spirits. They're all made of straw and held together with tree sap. It's nothing to worry about. My friends, Matt and Damien, took pictures with their cell phones. I was so freaked out, I couldn't even look at them. Finally, after what seemed like forever, we arrived at the resort. The staff showed us to our rooms. I couldn't help noticing that we were the only tourists at the resort. As a matter of fact, the place looked deserted. I tried asking one of the staff members about it, but he gave me a cold, piercing stare and just walked away. What the hell's going on? Where is everyone? I just spoke with the manager that runs the place. It turns out there's a festival in the village this weekend, so most businesses are closed. Even the beaches are closed.
I want to go home.
Miguel managed to calm Anna down, but everyone was a little bummed by the turn of events. Suddenly, we heard some strange music coming from the streets below. The festival that Miguel mentioned had begun. Hoping the festivities would cheer us up a bit, we quickly took to the streets. The sight we saw immediately made us wish we hadn't. A dead body, freshly embalmed and robed in chiefly attire, was on full display for all to see. A group of young men carried his casket on their shoulders, and a procession of village people followed them. Some cheered and danced, others wailed hysterically and cut themselves with knives and machetes. Each member of the parade had a skull face painting. All over the streets were the rotten, festering bodies of dead relatives. Each one had been dressed up in everyday attire and propped on chairs as though they were alive. The sight was so shocking I almost lost my breakfast.
What is all this?
It's a burial procession for the village chief. He passed away a few days ago. Just when I thought things couldn't get any creepier, they immediately did. The procession stopped abruptly and everyone turned towards us. They began chanting violently in a strange language as they approached us.
Miguel? What's going on? I'm not sure, but we need to get back inside now.
I and the others quickly ran back into the resort, only to find no one there. All the staff, including the manager, was gone. I ran up to my room and found something so terrifying it gave me goosebumps. Someone had hacked a chicken to death in all of our rooms, and it sprinkled the blood everywhere. Miguel's girlfriend had a panic attack. The rest of us had had enough.
That's it! We're leaving! I don't care if we have to wait at the airstrip for a few days. I'm not staying here another minute!
I screamed to Miguel, blood pounding in my ears. I went to get my bags, but they were nowhere to be found. Before I could gripe about that, all hell broke loose. Chanting noises grew louder and louder. We looked out the balcony and saw that the villagers were now in the resort. They were yelling and screaming. Each one was brandishing machetes, knives, and pitchforks.
I don't know what's happening, but I will deal with this. All of you hide!
Miguel yelled out to us as the villagers entered the reception. We hid behind a desk close by so we could watch what was happening. Miguel's voice was quiet and muffled. I couldn't hear what he said, but suddenly, one of the men walked up to him and plunged a butcher's knife right into his shirt. His body flopped around helplessly as the rest of the mob dragged him away.
No!
Anna yelled in shock and drew their attention to us.
Run! Everyone run!
I screamed, and we all made a run for it. I dragged Anna by the hand as we ran. Matt slipped and fell. I could only glance in horror as I saw them pin him to the ground with a pitchfork. Damien ran off in the opposite direction, and they went after him. Anna and I made our way to the beach next to the resort. Luckily, a small fishing boat was floating at the dock. I got onto the boat and dragged Anna with me.
No! We can't go! What about the others?
We have to get help. If we stay here, we're dead!
I hotwired the boat and we set sail just as the rest of the villagers arrived on the beach. We sailed as fast as we could until the mob was out of sight. I heaved a sigh of relief, glad that we had escaped. Suddenly, I felt a sharp pain on the back of my head. Then, I lost consciousness. When I finally came around, I found myself at a shrine tied to a wooden stake, like a lamb to the slaughter. I looked around me and saw that my friends were dead. All of them, except for Miguel and Anna. The two stood with the villagers, chanting and howling like demons from hell.
Miguel? What's going on? What happened?
I'm sorry, it's not personal. My people need a sacrifice of foreigners to honor our dead chief and ward off evil spirits. It's my job to provide them with the sacrifices they need. That's why I had to trick you all and bring you here. Anna was in on it the whole time. Her job is to make sure that you don't leave the island.
How could you do this to me? I thought we were best friends!
We are best friends! That's why you're still alive. I've pleaded with them not to harm you as long as possible, but I can't say what will happen when I leave.
With those last words, Miguel left. I couldn't believe what was happening. I watched in horror as they stuffed my dead friends into bags and turned them into scarecrows, knowing that unless something happens, I will be next.
Stop splashing me, Charles. Come Come on.
It's just a bit of water, baby. You'll be okay. We laugh as we swam, the shore distant as we explored the depths of the ocean. Suddenly, however, I looked at my girlfriend and saw a strange look on her face.
Charles, stop tugging at my leg.
I'm not, baby. What's wrong? With a scream, she suddenly disappeared beneath the waves. I lunged for her, but she was gone in an instant, and I screamed for help.
Help! Someone help me! I need help!
From the corner of my eye, I saw a dark shadow swimming around me, and I began to panic. The ocean was dark, and my girlfriend was nowhere to be found. The dark shadow in the water, whatever it was, began to swim closer and closer. Then, suddenly, I felt something grab my arm and pull me to the surface. A boater had seen me struggling in the water and pulled me onto their vessel.
Hey man, are you okay? What's happening?
My girlfriend, she's gone. We were just swimming and then she was gone.
We'll find her. Just stay put.
But they didn't find her. They even called the Coast Guards, but she was nowhere to be found. Eventually, the boaters and Coast Guards were looking at me like I was crazy, and the only thing I could do was leave. I wasn't about to give up, though, and I directly went to the police.
I'd like to report a missing person. Her name is Nancy. We were on summer vacation and we were swimming in the ocean when suddenly she just disappeared.
The police took my story, but what I saw when I left the station had me in shock. I saw her standing across the street, a look of bewilderment on her face.
What's going on, Charles? Why were you at the police station? I've been looking all over for you.
What? What happened?
I was in shock and kept asking her questions, but she couldn't remember anything. She said she had a terrible headache and was feeling very disoriented. We hurried back to the hotel, I hoped to get some answers. When we got back to our room, however, she seemed tired, and so we decided to go to sleep for the night. I awoke to the sound of running water. I looked around and gasped as I saw that our room was filling up with water. I could hear the faucet running from the bathroom, and so I ran to turn it off, my heart pumping. As I ran back to wake up my girlfriend and get her out of there, however, I saw something that gave me chills.
Nancy? What's going on? What are you?
She was transforming, her entire body turning into a creature with scales and fins. Her eyes were now a deep black, and her mouth looked like that of a fish. Her skin was a grayish green and blue color, and her hair was long and black. And her claws, her nails had transformed into long, black claws. And then she lunged at me. Dodging to the side, I bolted for the door and ran into the hallway. I kept running until I was far away from the door of my hotel room, then stopped and looked back through the window. Nancy was sitting there sitting on the bed as if nothing had happened. I rubbed my eyes, confused, and backed away thinking I was hallucinating due to shock.
Charles, where are you going? Come back.
Finally, I opened the door to the room again.
Charles, why did you run away like that? What's the matter? Did you have a nightmare?
I guess I did. Rubbing my eyes, I figured that I had just been dreaming. There wasn't any water and there wasn't any sign of what I had seen. Anyone would assume that they were dreaming if they saw something like that.
Maybe we should go for a swim again. It'll help you clear your head.
Yeah, I guess we can. Maybe I just need to wake up fully. And so, we headed down to the ocean again and got into the water. As we swam, nothing out of the ordinary seemed to happen, so I gradually got more and more relaxed. As we drifted slowly further away from shore, however, I felt something brush up against my leg, and then I felt it again. Looking down at the water, I saw dark shapes surrounding me, and I glanced up at Nancy with concern.
Nancy, something's going on.
But I didn't finish my sentence as I saw her face. It was completely transformed again, and she had a sinister smile on her face. Before I could move away, she grabbed my arm and pulled me under the water. I struggled, fighting with all my might, but I could feel myself being pulled down. I kept struggling, but her hand was holding my wrist with an iron grip.
Let go! Let go! What the hell?
But she didn't, and she dragged me deeper until my vision began to fade away. I saw her face, wild and monstrous, and then I let go and sank into the depths of the ocean. I could see shadows swimming around us, closing in, and I knew that I'd probably never see the surface again. The shadows around me became clearer, and I realized that they were other creatures just like Nancy. I guess next time, I'll be helping her lure another innocent swimmer into her trap.